located inside the Filipino-American Center of Portland at 8917 Southeast Stark Street.
KBRS membership drive is coming up in September. Help us promote the work of this amazing station by following us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and now Snapchat, rating our app on the iTunes and Google Play Store, and joining our Facebook event for the upcoming membership drive. Oh, and don't forget to join or renew your membership. Just click donate on our website or app and start your monthly contribution to your community radio, KBOO.
And KBOO's fall membership drive has come. It's September. It's September 9th, and it's 9:59 a.m. at KBOO Portland. And it is time for you, friends and neighbors, to make the call. I'm putting out the call to you. It is now your turn to answer the call by making the call. 877-500-5266. Come down and see us in person at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We're on 8th Avenue, right between Southeast Ankeny and East Burnside. Ankeny is, so far, still a pretty good bike route to get across town from east to west and vice versa. Come on down, take the bus. We're at 12 and 19 and 20 lines, all stop within a block or less of KBOO. Come on down and see us. Right now, in just a moment, my good friend Chris Andre is going to bring you Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary, followed at 10:15 with Flashpoints. And at 11 on The Digital Divide, host Rabia Yeaman welcomes cyberpunk author and former Sado Nation band member John Shirley into the studio. That's all coming up on your community radio. So, in the meantime, call 877-500-5266. Make sure it remains your community radio and keeps bringing you a strong, vibrant, and fiercely independent signal.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Clinton Street Stomp, Saturday, September 10th at Clinton Street.
Morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, September 9th. That's right, 9/11, 2016. And you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM on the web. And as listeners obviously and no doubt know, we are in the initial phases of the glorious fall membership drive. Welcome, listeners. Welcome, new listeners. Welcome, everybody out there. Made that big leap of faith and decided to become a supporter of community radio, which in these days, in these times, is becoming increasingly important. Before we speak with our guest today, we are having it here at Air Cascadia. We are recognizing, acknowledging, commemorating, and reflecting on Attica and the ghosts of Attica. There's prison strikes going on across the country. Noel Hanrahan with Prison Radio Project is joining us. Mumia Abu-Jamal's connection, actually, with the outside world. Mumia's voice being one of the most familiar, recognizable voices emanating from behind bars. There are just so many aspects of prison life that are reflected these days in communities, disenfranchised communities in the lower depths of hell on the socioeconomic circles. So that said, drawing clear ties to the society we live in and how we are affected. There are bars between most people and the wealth that they produce, that their labor produces. There's only a very tiny few, a handful of people who actually share the prosperity of America. The rest are behind bars or virtually in line to be behind bars. Noel Hanrahan joins us today. Welcome, Noel. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, thank you for having me.
We're really, really glad to get your voice on the air. This, of course, is Membership Drive. We have less time than the little time that we normally have. So I want to just flip this over to you and talk a little bit about life behind bars and why Attica happened. And are we seeing an outdoor Attica right now at the headwaters of the Dakota Access Pipeline? We could be, because this is becoming a prison nation, isn't it?
I think everyone knows now that it is a prison nation, that there are so many of us who have family members, who people we know inside, that we really need to heighten the awareness and really take a step up. Because, yes, I think that it's a dramatic moment. People inside are organizing. They have the means of production. If they do a prison slowdown or a prison work strike, you're not going to be able to run the prisons. And so I think there's consciousness that's radically changing throughout the country. And it's a great estimated 40 prisons, 24 states. Things are happening all over the country right now.
And you expect the strike to spread and pretty much spark strikes across the country. You know, other countries too. This is being reported extensively in the press in other countries beyond America's shores. I think America would like...
Anywhere you oppress masses of people, there will be resistance. There's always resistance and a fight for freedom and justice. So the United States, prisons are this locus point, are very much a place in which repression occurs, in which the state has a lot of biases in the way they incarcerate and mass incarceration itself. There will always be resistance inside to that, and this is just a very public showing of it.
Yeah, and it touches to, it's certainly for those who do not know people, they have friends, people they know, but who are behind bars, is worth pointing out, I believe, that it's not just a person who's incarcerated, it's their whole family, it's this whole social network. And if it's that many people behind bars, all of these networks that would provide support and the structure that is needed to re-enter society in any, any productive ways. There's none of that exists. Families and social circles are destroyed when someone goes to prison. There are means, very often the person in prison is the only one who is making money and sufficient to support the families. Can you talk a little bit about the circles, ramifications of prison, how prisoners...
It affects people in a very direct way when they're taken out of their communities and they lose their liberties. And they, like, one time I was pulled over and there were all these outstanding warrants that I had cleared, but the officer didn't realize it. And what that would have meant, having an outstanding warrant, which affected a ton of people in Ferguson and Missouri, in which many municipalities use as a way of leveraging taxes on folks for, you know, driving without registration, driving without insurance. He said, I'm going to take you in. It was a Friday. I would have lost my job, even though I had cleared them. But it's a tool for the state to impact people directly, have control over them, and to really just use the power of the state to leverage the control of their bodies. Secondarily, if you're not in that situation where you are arrested, illegally profiled, or whatever, the state is making decisions about our budgets. Every single criminal justice decision that we make for warehousing 2 million people completely and directly impacts the ability of the state legislatures and the U.S. Senate and the U.S. Congress to allocate money for health care and for education. So it's a direct choice. You can either incarcerate or you can educate. And we have to realize that. We have to. No other country in the world does this. This is criminogenic. This is like creating more crime. And it has to stop. It has to be evaluated, and our legislators have to have courage, and we have to take action.
And we've got just a couple of minutes left. We talked recently about this business that was touted as this miracle of compassion that had suddenly overcome legislators, and they were going to do away with the private for-profit prisons. We talked about that a little bit. Can you just review that for listeners? Because that's part and parcel of this whole incarceration architecture.
So if you're talking about private prisons, really the things that were happening in the last couple of weeks about Obama were a panacea, were just changing the sign on the door. We actually have to do a radical abolition of the entire mass incarceration system. That has to go. So the tiny little changing the signs to FCI, Federal Correctional Institute, is not going to help.
So on the final note, before we leave you, Mumia is still able to speak from prison. Leonard Peltier is behind bars, and we know now, of course, that Obama heard from the fossil fuel companies who wanted to ram this pipeline through. And Leonard is still behind bars because we know what he would have done. Just a couple of words as we go out on a note.
Absolutely. Every action matters. Every gift matters. People should stand with the people at Standing Rock. There are 100 tribes blocking the Dakota Pipeline. There will be repression, and we have to take action. So whatever you can do and whatever you can give. We have a campaign running right now where at 93%, we're at www.prisonradio.org. Punch the donate button.
That's about all the time we have. I apologize for that. We will review. I'm going to make sure that gets up on the website. Thank you so much for joining us today, Noel Hanrahan, talking about prison strikes on 9/11 and all of these elements come together, and they come together in one place, and that is independent community radio. We've got out there Becky and Justin, I believe, going to join us now. Tell us all about how you can be part of this. I know you want to be part of this. I know you do. I wouldn't be. I I mean, I wouldn't feel like my whole self if I weren't part of this.
Well, we're so glad that you're part of this, and we are asking you, dear listeners, to be part of us too. 877-500-5266. Call now or donate online, kboo.fm. You had a guest speaking about a dramatic moment in this American milieu. This is the time to support independent community media. 877-500-5266. We stand in solidarity with Standing Rock and the general strike against prison slave labor. 877-500-5266. If you also stand in solidarity with ending slave labor in prisons, if you also stand in solidarity with First Nations and people standing up for water rights, 877-500-5266 is the place to call.
Because like it or not, folks, in a capitalist system, how we spend our money says something about the kind of world we intend to live in. And when you make a contribution to the community in this way, you're really standing up in an act of resistance, in an act of activism, of demanding political change in support of free speech, diverse voices, and analysis of real issues, systems of oppression, social justice, environmental destruction. All of these things sort of come along with your membership, this radio university. So we're asking you to do this right now as we say thank you to Chris Andre, one of our most tireless volunteers every day. This is a labor of love, folks. And all she asks is she makes her goal, $100 would get her goal when you call 877-500-5266. And we're moving into flashpoints, and we have a couple of phone lines open on this, the first day of our fall membership drive. Thanks to everyone who's gotten in touch. And right now, who's going to be the next newest member? Could be you. 877-500-KBOO.
Today on Flashpoints, protecting your votes with hand-counted paper ballots. We'll speak to Harvey Wasserman about the battle against the phony machines. And we will rebroadcast our interview with Ajamu Baraka, the vice presidential candidate on the Green Party. He, along with Jill Stein, well, their names are on warrants and they're facing arrest. Hey, let's make some history this election year, huh? I'm Dennis Bernstein. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. I lost my voice there for a minute. This is your daily investigative news magazine on Pacifica Radio. And we begin the hour by inviting back onto the show.